It's up now, but it should be shortly. Give it a few minutes. Seconds.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limit on.
Thomas on the Healthy Soul Talk Show. Good evening on this chilly Tuesday night. Come on in. Welcome on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call into the show through Blog Talk Radio, dial 323-870-4375. Again, that's 323-870-4375. Press 1 to join us. All right. You can also email the show as we're live, or when you need to, at hst@ttlomedia.net. Again, that's hst@ttlomedia.net. You can also follow Healthy Soul Talk on all social media platforms at Healthy Soul Talk. Thank you for joining us live on Facebook. You can always tune in with us on Tuesday with your comments, your ideas, your thoughts, your feedback. We greatly appreciate it. If you want to catch the replay of the show, you can catch it on iHeartRadio or Spotify. Again, welcome to Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your therapist, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. All right. Let's see here. Good evening, my great producers.
Was I? My mic, can you turn me up a little bit? I thought I had turned myself
would
up.
Would that
bit.
Be number
two? This would be four.
Four.
Mic check. Yeah.
Mic check.
I'm good. Oh, that's maybe too loud. Now you turn down a little bit. I see the thing turn the red over there. Okay, I'm good. Turn down a little bit more.
Turn down a little bit
more. Right? Good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, you preached on Sunday.
A little bit. You know.
Come on now. I'm you know.
I was trying. I was trying to just get out the Lord's way. I'm trying not to rush some stuff because I'd be ready just to go. And
what?
I'd just ready to go in, but I can't.
Oh, okay. I'm like, wait a minute now. Good word.
Thank you. The Lord is blessed.
Yes. You know, I appreciate hearing good word.
Well, bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Let me send you my Cash App for a love offer.
Okay. Okay. And I was trying to have a serious moment, right, about my spirituality.
I'm so sorry. Yes, thank you for joining. I'm glad.
I'm yearning, right, for good, sound teaching. Okay? And you know what? How do you feel about, and I know I got to get into, you know, did you know, in a minute here, but I've noticed that many people are challenged with finding good biblical teaching, right? And so in a way that they don't feel like it's discouraging, right? Or what they're feeling, you know, is invalid or, you know, it, like it's wrong. Right. And so and just in the work that I do, of course, it's kind of heart wrenching, you know, when I hear individuals talk about how they're becoming turned off. Right. Mm-hmm. Turned off with not necessarily how we're doing, quote unquote, church these days, but they're looking for a nugget. Right. They're looking for something to sustain them during this time. And so, you know, I what are your thoughts? Like just points of people who, you know, are struggling, right, with absorbing this new way of being fed.
I think it's the same way. And I'm glad you used the term fed. It's the same way we've had to absorb for those of us who like to eat out at nice restaurants. We've had to absorb the fact that we got to go pick it up.
Yeah.
Or in some cases, we got to cook it ourselves. They'll you know, some places will give you all the ingredients and say, here you go. Now go home and, you know, I mean, everything. So if you want to eat, you'll find a way.
Right.
Right. Right. So if you're hungry, you'll find a way. Now, for those people who say, I can't worship at home, then you've never worshiped. I know this ain't a religious show, but I'm going to say it again. If you can, people say, I can't worship at home. I can't worship from the TV. I can't worship from my phone. I can't worship. Then you can't worship. Because if your worship requires you to be in a physical place, then you already don't know what worship is.
You set the atmosphere.
Yeah, because because worship is outside of the physical realm. You use your body, as it says, Paul said, I present my body as a living sacrifice. He didn't say, I present the building.
Right, right.
Said my body, so I can worship anywhere. I should be able to.
Well, I'll be the first, you know, because this is huge for me. You know, we've been talking about, you know, feeding the soul and nourishing the soul, and I just found that I had to tweak. That okay, what does it look like? Right. If you have any resources to go and, you know, I know we have a lot of online biblical resources. We have, you know, a lot of online, especially with the YouTube, things like that. I know we have that. Right. But some of us, you know, we are in a position where if we have questions, right, we're stuck.
Right.
You know, and so it's like when you hear whoever it is, whether that's a pastor or a minister, right, evangelist that's on, you're listening for your questions to be answered.
So
does that make sense? Like, you know, how do we wheel it in to ask for discernment on this is a good, you know, this is a good place to be to help you understand the word of God?
Well, you have to have your, first of all, you have to, it's two ways to answer that. The first way is for people who have a relationship with God. People who have a relationship with God understand discernment, and they understand his voice, regardless of who it's coming from or what media it's coming through.
Okay.
So just like you've had to make adjustments for your patients.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
You had to make adjustments because are you still doing only virtual or you're doing
only
some in-house?
Virtual. Still doing
you're
virtual.
Still doing only
still
virtual,
doing
right?
Virtual. Yeah.
Whereas Dr. Gilliam is doing both. Right.
Yes.
So he's doing both. And so there has to be a level of there has to be a want. First, you have to desire it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be careful. Then you have to then you have to do your research on who you're listening to. It's easy to just go by names. Like I like John Hanna's spirit, right? So it's like you heard John Hanna, but John Hanna might not be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may want a more, and John Hanna does speak, he really does not speak over people's heads. I appreciate that about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak over people's heads, but I mentioned Noel Jones the other day. Mm-hmm. Noel Jones is a freaking theological genius,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes he can talk over people's heads. He's a preacher's preacher.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think if anybody's looking for just some understanding, I think that's how you have to reach out. And then it's by word of mouth, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if somebody's looking mm-hmm. for, you know, I would never recommend meat because I just don't do that. But okay. I would recommend, I just don't. Because that just seems weird.
Okay.
I mean, I guess okay. I just, you know, I tell people all the time, come to my church, but yeah. not to come just to hear me. But I tell people, come to my church. But at the same, in the same breath, I would tell people, you know, find you a church that advertises that it's a Bible teaching church. That's a good
okay.
place to start.
Okay.
Worshiping church is awesome,
okay.
but a Bible teaching church, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So research, right?
Yes.
Websites.
Go to their Facebook pages. Their
right.
Facebook pages
yeah.
tell you a lot.
Yeah.
Their websites tell you a lot.
Yes.
If you go to
yes.
a church's website and all you see are pictures of the pastor everywhere, I would tell you to do a little more research.
Do a photo shoot.
Yeah, that's all you see. Is the pastor on every page,
uh-huh.
and then the other photos are stock photos because you can tell mm-hmm. they ain't from the real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would be suspect.
Okay.
Because if we talk about families, then show us your families.
Right.
If you got a kids ministry, show us your kid. Don't show me a bunch of little kids. You know, you showing me this mixed group of people on your website, but then when it comes to your, you show me this mixed bag of people on
mm-hmm.
your website,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
then. You, when I get to your church, that mixed bag don't exist.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. I like that, you know, and I just wanted to put that out there. That's just kind of been on my mind for the past, you know, a couple of weeks. Just we're in the new year and I listen to people just yearn,
mm-hmm.
right? Yearn for understanding of what's going on. I heard a lot of, you know, we're living out the Bible, right? We're living out the Bible and people experience heightened anxiety and sadness and depression when they said that, because it's like, well, how do we handle that? Right. How do we navigate if I can hear, I can see that the Bible, right, is we're living out the last days, right? I heard that as well. And for some, right, they went into panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, okay, what does that mean for me? You know, what should I be doing? Right. If we're living in the last days, what should I be doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is life meaningful? Should I continue on? So it helps to know and understand, you know, teaching people how to navigate. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Living in today's time
mm-hmm.
and staying spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Connected. Right.
Yeah.
With the resources that we have
mm-hmm.
and knowing what because I still read the Bible, the book.
Yeah.
Right. And I just recently saw where there were newer versions of the Bible who either had verses taken out
mm-hmm.
or, you know, chapters taken out, or they were rewritten, right, in a different way that didn't reflect the earlier,
mm-hmm.
right, models of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So that was turning, you know, people off. And I was just like, wow. You know, how do you, that's a whole nother show, you know, changing the message and people are being confused. Right.
Let me ask you this. Do you still have to, it's been like, when was the last time you were in school for your profession?
Is that outside of like training, CEU training?
Like, so you went to school, got a diploma, a degree somewhere,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Then you've done some continued education.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Well, so you, and in that continued education, were you given new material?
Yes.
Okay. So you still have your base material.
Yes, yes.
But then you were giving new material.
Correct.
It was not to replace the old material.
Absolutely not.
But it was to
give you
better insight into uh-huh. that, or
mm-hmm.
or a new way of delivering same
Correct.
Said treatment.
I agree.
Got it. Okay. So when it comes to the Bible, I tell people this all the time. I was born and raised Baptist. I think I came out Baptist because that's what my people was. Okay. So that's how that is. So the only Bible I ever knew of for a long time was the King James
yes.
Bible. Because Baptist
yes.
folk will tell you, if you ain't preaching out the King James, you're going to hell. That's pretty much what it is. But then when I started studying for myself, I realized I used the King James to preach with, but I used the New Revised Standard Edition
All right.
to study
okay.
from. The New Revised Study Bible, it's a study Bible.
A study Bible.
It's a study Bible. So I tell people all the time, get you a King James Bible so you can have the therefore, throughout, with how, and how, for, with, and all that. But then get you a study Bible.
Yeah.
And then I tell people it's okay to read religious-based Christianity. I shouldn't say religious. Christianity-based books.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you if people make books, I'm not T.G. Jakes ain't paying me no money to talk about him. Oh, he ain't giving Healthy Soul Talk no money either. However, he writes some amazing books based off of scripture.
Got it.
So if you are struggling with a lot of things like you talked about, the people are struggling with just being locked down and all these other type of things. There are books out there by Tony Evans. Matter of fact, I don't know if you know this.
Love
Tony Evans, you know, he redid the Bible.
Oh, meaning
he took the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And there's now a Tony Evans Bible. Now I've only read
hard copy
excerpts. It's both hard and digital.
Okay.
Yeah, the Tony and Tony Evans is
that like a study Bible too?
Is it a what?
Is that has the study?
It is a study. Okay. It is a study Bible.
Got it.
Yeah, but it is an amazing literary work. So yeah, I would tell anybody if you were going to take a look at it, it's the Tony Evans Study Bible, and it's a study Bible, and there's a commentary.
It's not just for ministerial.
First of all, let me tell you what.
I believed that for a long time, and I was like, "Ooh, so is that just for people bringing the word about the preach?" And I didn't mess with it for a long time, and I was like, "Well, how am I supposed to understand the nuts and bolts of, you know, scripture if I can't use the tools that I've heard for years?"
In seminary, I was taught, don't look at study, pray, talk to the Lord, then read the commentary.
Study, pray,
and then talk to the Lord, and then read the commentary.
Because
the commentary was what, because think about it like this. People are getting, there are no new revelations. There are no new revelations. Right? I always correct people by saying put the S on the end of revelations. There are no new revelations. But the Bible constantly reveals things to us. And so when we go and take something out of the scripture, we have to always remember what context, we have to know what context in which the writer was writing.
Correct.
And who he was speaking to.
Yes.
Right? Because just like, you know, unfortunately, you know, we folk that look like me and you, we were kept in bondage for years based off somebody else's interpretation of the Bible. They took this one little part and said, slaves, obey your master.
And forgot all that, how good you're supposed to treat.
All that stuff.
We're supposed to feel rich.
Forget about all that, right? So in the same instance of that, the same words were used to keep women from preaching. So my women, I suffer a woman not to teach. He was talking to those women because those particular women was keeping up mess in the church. Just like somebody sat next to me a couple of weeks ago and told me, well, you know, Jesus put the demon in the swine. That's why we ain't supposed to eat pig. See, now.
Jesus put the demon.
Remember,
in the
he ran.
Line.
He got the demon out the man, and he put him in the pigs, and the pigs all jumped off the cliff. And you're gonna try to tell me that's why we ain't supposed to eat pork? See, that ain't biblical. Yes, he put the demon in the swine, but nowhere after that did he say, "For this cause, you cannot have a rib tip." He didn't say that.
Good evening, Joy. How are you? Thank you for tuning in. I'm sorry.
I had to get that out. Sorry.
Oh, goodness.
Pent up stuff.
All right. So I like that. I like that, you know, the essence, right, of how you have to stay connected.
Yes.
And it takes work.
Yes.
Right? It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes resources. And you know, for me in 2020, I really discovered where my next level should be, right? And I said that like that because it positioned me to see where my deficiencies were.
Ah.
Right? And so because I discovered some of where my deficiencies are, I said, okay, right? I'm always talking about resources. I'm always, you know, encouraging people to get the tools that they need. Mm-hmm. And I sit with them and I help them outline clearly, right? This roadmap, right? This blueprint of resources. And so I didn't have certain resources.
Mm.
right? Okay. I didn't have certain resources to say, okay, if you plan, if you, you're trying to go to the next level,
mm-hmm.
right, of who you are,
mm-hmm.
right, and who God destined you to be,
mm-hmm.
are you equipped efficiently?
Mm.
Right? I feel, you know, you talk about feeling depleted, right? You talk about, you know, we're talking about self-sabotaging behaviors tonight. It was just like, can you continue to function the way you are and still go to your next level?
So let me ask you this question.
And that's spiritual. That includes
absolutely
spiritual
absolutely
component.
Let me ask you this question. When you realized you didn't, what, I don't know, I guess it's a twofold question, but I'll go with the second question first. What made you go, what happens with you that makes you decide to go get further information or further accreditation?
In my profession?
Yes. What happens that says, okay, Kim, you need to go do this?
Yeah. So when I say this, I'm going to make it clear
okay.
At the end
okay.
how my practice flows.
Okay.
I feed off my clients, right?
Okay.
And my form of therapy is cognitive behavior therapy.
Okay.
So it's a lot of work, collaboration. Got to stay on my toes, right? With helping them reshape thoughts and all that good stuff, right? Cognitive distortions.
Mm-hmm.
When I find that they are reporting back on either A, being stuck, right? Meaning they couldn't quite process, you know, the last session or the homework that was given.
Mm-hmm.
The insight, gut feeling that I get
mm-hmm.
when I feel like, okay, you're not... You got to come a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening. I'm all about relieving symptoms because I don't believe you have to live with depression.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own it. It's not a part of your character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening, right? I'm listening for relief, right? I'm listening for the optimism,
mm-hmm.
right? That a person, if you come in to see me, right, I should hope that our sessions build upon being more optimistic about life,
mm.
right? And so when I don't have the feeling, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
I shift, mm. right? I have to go harder in my efforts to help you have that revelation, right? Have that I need you to turn this corner.
So,
right? And that pushes me to say, okay, you know, what do I need to not necessarily brush up on,
uh-huh.
but you know, effective strategy.
What
right?
new resource can I go?
Yes.
What other resources
yes.
are out there? Okay, fine.
And that starts with prayer too.
Yes.
Because I like God to reveal to me what I need to say to this person that's an individual in front of me and not just a part of my day, right? So no person is alike. I don't have a one-size-fits-all model.
Yes.
So I when I tell you, when I come to sessions, I'm asking God to speak through me,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I want to hear them say, I never looked at it that way,
mm.
right? I'm going to try that. And I see how they look because we're on video now, right? And
mm-hmm.
so I feed off that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that this hour you're spending with me
mm-hmm.
is helping you feel a little bit better about life and how you think, right,
mm-hmm.
and process
mm-hmm.
life. So a lot of that comes with, you can read every textbook out there, right? I got a few bookcases,
mm-hmm.
right? But if I don't know how to deliver it in a way that it's received,
mm-hmm.
right, and comfortable, and it works for the client, it's pointless.
Okay. So you answered my question, and you helped with the second part of the question. So once you get that inkling, that feeling, and you recognize you need that additional resource, you then go and research where you can find additional
interventions, strategies.
Thoughts,
right.
Okay. So you just answered the question for people who look for people in the same situation. We're at home who
mm-hmm.
don't have a physical church they can walk into today.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
So you seek out additional resources,
right.
additional strategies
right.
for dealing with, you know, it's just like, you know, people have been writing books for years on how to raise teenagers. You know.
Good evening, Malia.
You know,
welcome. Come on in.
So,
thank you.
So yeah, you got all types of different ideals that are
right.
out there, and but you
right.
have to be willing to do the research, and you know, it's just like with recipes. I mean, you know, I shared this with you, and you, I don't know if I shared it with you, but I shared this on my show a couple times when my grandmother when at my where I grew up at, she used to have one of those metal. It was this metal thing on the back porch,
mm-hmm.
and it was heavy. And it was a big piece of iron. It was iron. It was
okay.
The iron. It was the old school iron that used to have to heat up on the stove.
Ah.
And I saw it, and I'm like, what? And she was like, this is how we used to iron clothes.
Okay.
And I said, huh? She said, yeah, you wrap it up in a rag when you get ready to pick it up, and you take it and you run off the stove, and you can get about maybe two or three garments from,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you got to
mm-hmm.
go sit it back on top of the stove. And I said, are you serious? She said, yes. Yeah. So then, again, I'm a little kid. I said, how come y'all don't use it no more? And her words to me was, I would be stupid. She says, why would I spend all day ironing
mm-hmm.
when I can be done in an hour and a half? Because she used
right.
to iron. She was one of the people that used to iron everything out the dryer.
Right, as she washed
everything.
I aspire to be like that one day.
Socks. Socks? Yes, she would.
Iron.
Wow. Uh-huh. So I said all that to say, as methods improve,
mm-hmm.
you should seek to learn those newer methods, right? They was
right.
making cakes by hand back in the day. Ain't nobody trying to whip no cake by hand today. Who? Not when you got a mixer. KitchenAid. So, yeah. But thank you for answering that, because I was wondering what makes you decide to go. What makes people, because it's just like, you know, even for me, I went back to school because the first time I went because I wanted more information. This last time I went, somebody paid for it.
Joy says, I still iron.
How come I don't see no, because my comments ain't up. Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
I don't see none of that. No, you good. I see him. I had to refresh over here.
It's a lady.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. So let's jump right in, right? We're talking about self-sabotaging behaviors. And, of course, I like the did you knows. Did you know?
Oh, we didn't even do that yet? Oh, wow.
I know, right? I just got excited because I
was making up for last week, but go ahead.
Not... So the did you know. All right, here we go. The first did you know is... Did you know that the last person you think of before you sleep is either the reason you're happy or in pain?
Wow.
Right? The last person you think of.
That's probably factual.
Before you sleep is either the reason you're happy, which means that I got to pause over here, which means that you either sweet dreams,
mm-hmm.
right, or Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow.
Right? Which probably you wake up in some type of mood.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in some type of mood
mm-hmm.
Thereafter, right? And I thought about that, you know, like, wow. How often, you know, when we talk about this topic tonight,
mm-hmm.
What does that look like, right? When someone has, you know, you have a relationship with them and you're things are going well, right?
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. And they're constantly on your mind. What's that? The beginning stages of a relationship, right? Oh, it's all right. What's
mm-hmm.
they say? The honeymoon stage.
Yeah. Honeymoon. Yeah. The honeymoon.
Right.
Yeah, honeymoon.
Right. But
yeah.
As time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now they, you know, you're having nightmares.
Reality setting.
Really?
What? That's what it's called.
Reality sets in, which could be good, you know.
It could be a good or bad reality,
right,
but reality
right.
does set in.
It takes work. It takes work, okay?
That's with anything. That's with a brand new job. That's
right.
with any,
right.
that's with the, you know, that's just even a brand new car. You can get a brand new car and be like, ooh, my car is nice. This is everything. And then, you know, you get about that fourth, fifth, sixth car note, you like,
yeah.
you know what,
yeah.
this.
yeah.
Like, I'm glad I got it, but dang. You
really?
Know what I mean? So that's
really?
With any relationship. Any
yeah.
business, whatever, don't matter.
That's true. So think about that, right? That person who's on your mind right before you go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
are they giving you good vibes, right? Or are they giving you the tremors, okay? Because that's likely to affect your mood when you get up, okay?
Did you say the tremors?
Yeah. Shakes. Like, woo.
Woo, okay.
Right.
It's not like you need to go to the doctor. You got the tremors.
Oh my goodness. All right, that's the first did you know. The second
okay.
did you know here.
Uh-oh.
People are more honest when they are physically tired. This is why people confess things during late night conversations.
Mm.
Right? Got it? People are more honest when they are physically tired.
Mm.
And this is why people confess things during their late night conversations.
And that's why the police used to keep people locked up all that time. In the interrogation room. No, it's what they would do. You know, back in the day, there was no time frame on how long you could hold a person. So they would hold you for two, you know, you'd be gone for a whole week in there with nothing. And you'll confess anything when you and can't get no sleep.
But what is, wait a minute.
What?
See, I'm on the fence about that.
Come on.
Joy says, I'll pay attention to that tonight. Yeah. Who's on your mind? Who's on your mind before you go to sleep?
Uh-oh.
You know, you could be just saying something, right, to hurry up, right, mm-hmm. get the conversation over with, or, you know, you're saying it just, you know, for another agenda that you have,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like, okay, if I'm tired, though, does that necessarily mean that I'm being totally honest at that moment? I don't know.
What
I
if it
about
means?
That. Like, how would you discern whether or not, what if, you know, it's the truth, right?
What if
you
it
know?
Means you're just more susceptible to anything, truth or fiction?
Ah, oh, that's an interesting concept.
Because you know what? I'm tired. So whatever
come out my
let
mouth.
Me say, whatever going to make you shut the hell up Ooh. So I can go to
oh
sleep.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Pray did you me. Just have a flashback?
Pray for
okay.
Pray for me.
But you gave clarity to my point.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That was a clear point that I was trying to make with that. All right.
Okay.
But yes, it is suggested that people are more honest when they're physically tired, right? So I guess if you want to know the truth, right, wait a little, you know, or at least when you know that they're tired and as they say, they're kind of worn out, right, with energy, so they just don't go ahead and confess.
So I'm going to wait and call you at 2 o'clock in the morning to ask you my questions. I wish
the key word is physically tired, right?
I'm asleep, though. So I'm asleep, and you decide, let me ask you something.
What?
See, right there, you might get, look, you might get the truth in a real harsh type of way.
No filter.
Or you might get, ain't no telling what you might get. Especially when it's hard for me to sleep as it is, and you won't come ask me some foolishness.
Goodness. Joy says that's why she go to bed early. Why you still alert? Yeah, the energy is still there. All right, here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
I like those did you knows. That was good.
Five self-sabotaging behaviors and what you can do about it. All right, first we're just going to kind of go through here.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few. There are a lot out there, but I just pulled these here. All right, so when you think about self-sabotaging behaviors, this is where you feel stuck or you engage in verbal or, you know, behaviors that divert you from your goals or, you know, welcome, David. David said, what did I miss? David, you know, I want to press rewind so bad.
Right.
But I know we got to keep going. David, I want you to think about, who's on your mind before you go to sleep tonight? Are you happy, right? Or are you in pain? Or you know, when you're tired, can we get you to confess, right? In those late night conversations, it says here people are more honest when physically tired. This is why people confess during those late night conversations. Is that you, David? All right, here we go. The first self-sabotaging behavior is you remain stuck in patterns that are psychologically comfortable. But it's not working for you. An example of that is overworking is more comfortable and familiar than having or finding more balance. Right?
Say that again. What's that part again about? You said overworking?
Overworking yourself is more comfortable and familiar than having more balance or finding more balance. Right? Because that's a process to change. And obviously, those patterns that you're in.
Okay.
And so what I say here is when you think about that, this just doesn't apply to work, right? This applies to, it could be with relationships. It could be you know, how you function in your house, other areas of your life where you feel comfortable being uncomfortable, right? And I know that phrase is kind of different than how we usually say it, but ask yourself, what is it costing you, right? What does it cost, and what are the benefits mm-hmm. of staying in this particular pattern that's causing you distress, right? It's not working for you. Working long hours, right? Overworking yourself. Always being there for people, right? Not taking care of what you need to take care of for you, right? And a lot of people say, you know, I like to people pleaser, right? People mm-hmm. pleaser. What does it cost you to be a people pleaser?
Mm.
Right? And there's this list, right? When you say sit with self and literally write out these are two columns, the cost and the benefits, right? Mm-hmm. Of being a people pleaser, the cost and the benefits of overworking yourself, right? The mm-hmm. cost and the benefit of always being available, right? To people,
mm.
right? You remain in patterns, right? You remain stuck in patterns that are psychologically comfortable because you can almost predict, right? The stress you're going to have, you can predict. In thinking about that, you're like, wow, why would a person want to keep doing this cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Because they can predict, even in this sense, they can predict the feelings that are going to come afterwards,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's sadness or an anxiety or depression or, you know, mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion, you can predict what your body's going to go through as you stay stuck in these patterns. But it's hard to look at change, right? Mm-hmm. How do you now force yourself to stop doing those behaviors that keep you stuck, right? You know, we always say, just say no, right? When people keep calling on you or, you know, you're always making yourself available. You're that person who every time they ask, you know, if you want to work overtime, you always say yes, right? It's not easy saying no. Right. And you have to think about that. What is it costing me to continue doing what I'm doing? What are the benefits? Now, if your benefits, you look at these two lists when you're done. Right. It is hope that you see there are more costs on this list than benefits of staying in the pattern. Right. That mm-hmm. keeps you psychologically stuck. Right. So and that list means, OK, what is it costing me? It's costing me my sleep. It's costing me my mood, meaning that, you know, even when I want to be happy, I can't because I have these racing and recurrent thoughts, right? It's costing me my time, right? Because now I don't have time for myself. So every time I want to go and do something for myself, you know, I can't seem to fit it in, right? And so now that job is your life, right? And now you're fitting things in around your job, the schedule of your job. Right. So it's costing you your time. And you may say, well, what are the benefits? Obviously, the benefits are you get paid. Right. You get paid. Hopefully, you know, with what you're paid, you're able to maintain the bills. Right. Maybe you have some financial goals. Right. But you look at the intensity of the cost and the benefits. How much longer can you keep like this? Right. And so a part of fighting self-sabotaging behaviors and thought process is to first sit down with self and examine where you are and what's it costing you. Right. And I like to say, write this out. Right. Write this out in the sense of you get a visual. Right. There's this tangible thing that you're looking at to say, is this me? Is this an accurate picture? Right, of my day to day and how comfortable I am in this particular cycle that I'm in. So yeah, when you think about that self-sabotaging behavior, mm-hmm. Being stuck in patterns that are psychologically comfortable, right? But it's not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can also decline in physical health.
True.
Right. Because and I heard this so much in 2022. I heard a lot of managing symptoms
mm-hmm.
versus eliminating symptoms.
Managing symptoms.
Managing whatever, and symptoms meaning, you know, if you have a condition, right?
Okay.
The doctor gives you medication to deal with those symptoms of the condition.
Okay.
Right? So we become comfortable with these ailments, right? Because we know that there's medication there to quote unquote treat us.
Right.
But what would it look like if you changed your lifestyle and tweaked some stuff, right? To where you won't need the medication. It's much more harder work in the beginning. Again, we're thinking about, right, shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for me to maintain my health with medication, right, because I know what's going to happen.
Right.
Right. I don't know how much work I'm going to have to put in. I don't know how much loyalty and commitment and who I'm going to lose. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to shift right in my lifestyle, mm-hmm. just so what I could be more healthy and not reliant on medication.
Mm-mm.
That's fear. Right. That's hard to think about. Like, wow, is there such thing as not needing medication for diabetes?
Being
healed, right? So you got this report and you say, I'm not down with the insulin. I don't want to take shots, right? But some people own diabetes. Like, okay, the doctor told me I have it. Now let me just get cozy with it,
mm-hmm.
right? But we know people that have successfully changed their lifestyles to where they were the most extreme, right, cases of diabetes, and they changed their lifestyle, right? They put in the hard work to say, however long it takes to learn my body, right? I know I can't keep remain stuck in this pattern, right? Because it's not working for me.
I was going to say that that's exactly the example I was going to use. My godmother was a diabetic her whole life. And at some point she changed her eating habits.
Mm.
And so now she's not taking insulin. I mean, she has it on deck. If mm-hmm. something were to happen, but I don't know when the last time she had to take anything.
Right.
Because she literally changed her. She changed everything about the way she eats.
Yes.
You know, so yes. It's one of those things where, she just manages it better. You know, I mean,
right.
and this is somebody who loves to cook, bake, and do all of those
mm-hmm.
things. And
mm-hmm.
she'll bake it, but she ain't going to eat it.
Felicia says, I've learned that when you keep saying yes to things you want to say no to, you become passive aggressive and start resenting people. I say no with no explanations. Yeah, right? And I agree with that. That resentment definitely builds up. She also says, you will be amazed what people will do when you don't answer the phone. They will call someone else. take care of you. I've learned to do that kind of. Let some calls go.
What did people do before you had, as my grandma used to call it, call interrupt? That's what she used to call.
Call interrupt.
That's what she used to call waiting. Call interrupt. When the phone was busy, you call somebody else. When the line was busy, you at some point, you call somebody else.
And you have to learn you, right? So I hope that you sit with self, because that's one of the things, right? We're living in an age where we our brains are conditioned to be just accessible, easily accessible,
mm-hmm.
instantly accessible,
mm-hmm.
right? So sitting with self and unlearning some of those behaviors is hard, but you can't stay in that pattern that you're in, right? Because it's not working for you, all right? So think about that, weigh the cost and the benefits, right? Start there with this pattern that you're in that's costing you your emotional and your physical health. All right, number two. You avoid dealing with unresolved issues and traumas that, when triggered, result in out-of-proportion reactions, right? You avoid dealing with unresolved issues and trauma. That's number one, which, when triggered, results in out-of-proportion reaction. What does that mean? Essence.
You overdo it.
See, I don't like to say overdo it.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Doctor.
No. No, because although that, you know, that's what we call it. It really is that person reaching the breaking point,
mm-hmm.
right? So that person that has the meltdown or goes completely off. That's their true state of being,
mm-hmm.
right? But you don't know that you've triggered something, right? Or that something's been manifesting within them.
Mm-hmm.
So you get you get whatever, whoever they are, right, at that particular moment. And so when you think about dealing with unresolved issues and trauma, again, slowing it down, right? I definitely know just in these last 12 months that many people tapped into, right, their unresolved issues and traumas.
Mm.
Because when the world shut down, right, they mm-hmm. had some idle time,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they were trying to figure out, okay, what's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. How in the world have I experienced anxiety since I was a teenager and I'm close to retirement?
Wow.
Right? How in the world, you know, I'm in this marriage, right? And for the past, you know, X amount of years, I've just been unhappy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just now coming to terms, you the world was closed and shut down. So you had no other choice but to sit down and think about your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And why are you reacting the way you are? You know, I look at and I listen to people who change jobs a lot. Because every job they go to, it's somebody else getting on their nerves or, you know. As they say, I can't get along right with these people because it's always some other people, right? But the common denominator is you, right? And mm-hmm. you have to understand that you have to know when you have unresolved issues, they go with you everywhere you go, right? There's a conscious and an unconscious to you. And, you know, whether that goes back to childhood hurts, right? Or traumas that stem from whether you were, you know, sexually violated, mm-hmm. physically violated, emotionally violated, all this impacted your self-esteem and your self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear a lot of people say, you know, I have trust issues. And I say, ding, 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 ding. You have some unresolved issues and trauma. So when do you want to address them? Right? Because imagine going into a relationship and you tell that person, hey, I just want you to know I have trust issues. Do you still want to be with me? And some of us say what? Yeah, I'm good. You know, just tell me what you need. Right? And so, you know, thinking about that, it's like, wow, if you know you have trust issues that go way back, mm-hmm. right? Stop avoiding, you know, dealing with these unresolved issues. It's not fair to you or the person you're in communication with or relationship with
mm-hmm.
that they have to now, right, walk alongside of you, right, in these unresolved, meaning what? Your mood can change at any point, right? For some of us, you know, it gets to where I can't be in healthy sexual relationships in my marriage,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you've been sexually violated, and now, you know, there are things that's going on in the marriage that triggers, right, those memories of that past sexual trauma. This is how, you know, it affects you, right? So examine what fears you have if you allow yourself to deal with those unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and foremost. I don't believe in this. Just jump in there, you know, and tell yourself it's okay. No, first you need to sit with self, right? And think about, what are my fears? What am I afraid of if I allow myself to uncover these issues and process these issues and cope through these issues? And yes, I said cope through, because the memories don't go anywhere. Right. So when the memories surface, or there's something, whether it's a scent or something someone said that you have these flashbacks, or the memory comes back, you have to know how to work through that moment so that you're okay. So that wherever you are, at work, at school, in class, right, wherever you are, out to eat, out to dinner, you can work through it so that you stay attentive in the here and now. You're still enjoying life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So ask yourself, what fears do you have if you allow yourself to deal with those unresolved issues? Think about how those unresolved issues are chipping away at your self-esteem and self-confidence. Right. And some of those fears are not allowing you to control your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I listen for when people say, you know, I'm just an emotional wreck.
Hmm.
OK, come on. What is it going to take for us to get you together? Right. So that you can be in a better space. Right. to address what's making you an emotional wreck, right? Because that kind of goes back to the first one. You're staying stuck in patterns that are psychologically comfortable, mm-hmm. right, but not working for you, right? So examine those fears and then make a decision that it's okay, right, for me to process and uncover and sweep from under the rug. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The residue of this trauma right now in my life. And I believe in safe spaces. Right. So seeking counseling or psychotherapy. Right. I'm going to pause here. All right. Because we got some comments here. It says here, Felicia says, Joy says, I had to learn to be honest with myself and others to stop suppressing my feelings. Absolutely. And being honest with yourself and other people, it just means expressing yourself. And not, you know, it's not hostile,
mm-hmm.
right? It's okay to express your feelings and what you need at that time, and let other people, you know, perceive it however they will, right? Felicia says, does this relate? My grandfather just passed away yesterday. My condolences to you. My mom's sister won a 10. All right. My mother's focus is on that instead of him passing away. How do I bring her back? She ain't coming. Let's move forward. Reverend.
Oh, did you really
Reverend,
just put that to me?
Yeah. I'm going to pass that to you because, you know, my mind went long term. Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Read the last part of that comment again.
Felicia says, so mom's sister won the 10, right?
Who passed away?
Felicia's grandfather.
Grandfather passed
so
away.
Mom's father.
Okay. So the other daughter won a 10.
Other daughter won a 10.
Uh-huh.
My mother's focus is on that, right? Sister not attending instead of on daddy passing away.
Mm-hmm.
How do I bring her back? She says she ain't coming. Let's just move forward.
Yeah. You can't really focus on.
Yeah.
If that sister.
That's a tough one.
And now we don't know the ins and outs. So, you know, because with black folks, it's always secrets. You know how we do. So, but with
can she pull it together? You think she could pull it together?
Pull it together to come?
To focus on the services and not be overwhelmed.
I think if she lets that sister deal with it on her own and not worry about it, yeah. I think if she is the she's the one who's in charge, then you can't worry about. I found a long time ago. You can't worry about who's here and who ain't. The service got to go forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, either you want it to be
she's
great.
She's going to be hurt.
Yeah.
Mom is going to be hurt.
Absolutely.
Mom is going to be hurt. I think Felicia, you know, just encourage your mom to continue with the process, you know, of setting up the services. You know, like Dr. King said, let her sister, you know, process her in her own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because months from now, right, they'll still be dealing with this, you know, situation, right? It's not going anywhere, right? Whether she shows up or not, whether she shows up and shows out, right, then we have a different situation. So it's like, you know, maybe she feels like she's in a space where she genuinely can't attend. I know that hurts, right? But, you know, again, we don't know her, but there may be a reason, right? She ain't coming. It's against her religion, but I think it's something else. Right. Oh, she's that Jehovah's Witness.
Oh,
got it.
Oh, well, that's a different story. They ain't coming. They'll come view the body, and that's it. They ain't gonna stay there for no. For no word. They'll do that much.
View the body
at the funeral home.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're not gonna come to the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or if they do that, they're not even gonna stay for the word. They'll come in for the wake, come view, sign book, leave.
Got
they might not even sign the book though.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're praying for you, Felicia, that, you know, everybody makes the best decision, right? The right decision. All right. All right. Here we go. Self-sabotaging behavior number 3. You expect to succeed in making life changes without designating time or mental space to accomplish them. Right? You expect to succeed in making life changes without designating time or mental space to accomplish this. And, you know, I'm all for, right, creating goals, setting goals, you know, making adjustments in life. But there's a mindset, right, mm-hmm. that has to come before,
mm-hmm.
right? You outline this vision, you know. So I like to say, you know, when we create the vision boards, right, we have to make sure that either before or afterwards of making this vision board, we sit down with self and say, okay, how much time are we going to need, right,
mm-hmm.
to make these things happen, right? Where am I mentally? Do I have the mental capacity? Do I have mental clarity in succeeding, right, these changes that I want to make in my life? And so I'll use myself as an example. You know, when vision boards were first hot, right, everybody was doing it, I did it, right? And that thing hung on my wall all year. And I just looked at it every day.
And?
That was and.
People had those.
That was
they
and.
Had vision boards. I remember being in an office. People had them hanging in their cubicles.
Right.
They had,
oh, they did? That was huge.
They had like vision, like, well, they had like stuff on their, you know, we had the big calendars. So
yes,
every month
yes,
they had
yes.
all these things they would put on. And I would always wonder, like, are y'all actually doing any of this stuff?
Right.
Or y'all just doing it for show?
It just looks cute. Now it looks cute.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
But then we get disappointed, right? We start looking at the first quarter of the year, the second quarter of the year, right? Now we in the home stretch of the year,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, so look at all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And what have I done? And so, you know, we often forget, right? Or we just don't have the time, or we didn't make time to actually figure out what's the blueprint
mm-hmm.
for this change process.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation is essential, right? You have to know what you need, right? And actually figure out the how, right, to maintain your level of success.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So it's this journey, right? You have to create this journey of the resources of what you need and how to get there, right? So allow time to sit with self. I'm going to talk about that. You know, that's the famous phrase tonight, sit with self. Right, to explore and examine barriers to your attention span. So meaning, are you in a good mental space to give all the attention you need to the goals that you set? Right? Do you really have 30 minutes a day to address your mental wellness? Right? That means self-examination, self-reflection, right? Are you prepared? Are you willing? Are you open? Are you committed
mm-hmm.
to actually giving time to self, right, to create this mental clarity that you need, right, to unlocking the how you will succeed, right? Because you have to know the how,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you are clouded, right, your thoughts are racing, or you just overwhelming yourself with cramming stuff in, like you have this to-do list, right? I stop to-do list. In a way that, you know, just have a to-do list every day, right? And so you have like 25 things on there to do. But you never sat with self to say, is this realistic, right? Or did I just cram some stuff on this list to make me feel good?
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't check these 25 items off, you don't feel good anyway, right? But you didn't actually sit with self. You didn't really assess. Okay, you didn't assess how successful you would be at even just this task list for today. So being attentive, right? Spending time with self to say, okay, let me make sure I'm giving ample time, right? Ample time to creating time for me to be successful in these life-changing goals that I have, all right? Your mind needs to be clear of clutter and emotional exhaustion. In order, right, to carry out this journey of success in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not identifying what area of your life is successful, right? But all I'm saying is dedicate time and mental space, right, to clearing out your mind. Every day, right, before your head hits the pillow, you need to empty out, right? Empty out your mental space. Empty out, you know, what's going on for the day. Talk about gratitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
What were my highlights for the day? right? Pulling out, okay, what did I like? What I want to do better the next day? All of that, you should just sit with self and appreciate, right? How amazing your day was, even if you didn't go off on somebody, right? If that's one of the life-changing goals that you have is to watch your temper, right? Then that's what you should be tuning into, right? On a day-to-day basis, making sure that you have mental clarity, making sure that your mind is just not cluttered with thoughts here. All right, so we got some things here. Joy says, now you in my business. All right. Felicia says, I make vision boards 5 years out. Mm. 5 years? Mm. Felicia, I need you to check in on how that's coming, right? What year did you start? And how's it going, actually? And how do you track your milestones, right? That's huge, too. Dr. Brown says, while I'm sitting with self, can I drink? Can I have a drink of three? You can have some Kool-Aid.
What? So,
all right. There you go.
Because you I know you because you do addiction counseling and all that kind of stuff. Is that why you like always tell people not to drink nothing? Because I noticed that a lot. You kind of like throw that out there like real quick.
Because I like for people to watch if they're emotionally drinking.
Okay.
You know,
but everybody ain't emotionally
drinking. You can't have one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost.
That's in the book. In nomine Padre, in nomine Patro.
What? You know what? Listen, obviously I'm more in tune to that because as long as you know why you're drinking, right, and you can articulate that to self,
mm-hmm.
all right, and you okay with how self consumes alcoholic beverages, then okay, right? But if you wake up the next day and can't carry on, then we have an issue, right? So as long as you can identify when it's, you know, you're using it to cope with your emotions or, you know, drown out the problems that you're having in your life. Felicia says it's in the book. I agree. No. No. There are other things you can do, right? You know, just a little bit off, right? I know why I'm drinking. I'm drinking to get drunk. Well, then, you know, that's a problem. Who wants to drink and get drunk and you can't remember anything?
Do people still get drink to get drunk?
Absolutely. All right. That's a self-sabotaging behavior.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes,
because is. You're consuming alcohol to change not only your mood, but to remember your actions at that time. Right, so you're gonna have a hard time remembering what you did the night before, and you're gonna have a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you may end up some places. Uh huh.
I see so many places in my
life. All right,
life
here we go. Here we go. All right, number four, you ignore the warning signs that you need a break. You ignore the warning signs that you need a break. So listen, we're going straight forward here. Pay more attention to your body and what it needs. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of your needs first is not selfish. It's selfless. Right. And what do I mean by that? You can't be the best you if you don't take care of your mind, body, and soul. You can't be the best spouse if you're worn out, tired, right, irritable, right? You can't be the best mother, father, if you can't give attention to the kids. You're short, right? You're not interested in their day-to-day, right? If you own your own business, if you're worn out, you just keep going and going and going. Clearly, your service is going to, you know, be impacted, right? Whether that's a service or product, right, that you're putting out. Understand it, right? Even if you have a job, right, you're not the best employee if you don't. If you ignore the warning signs that you need a break, that you need a timeout, and timeout can mean an emotional timeout or a physical, right? Physical day off, meaning to address your physical body. All right. So pay more attention to your body and what it needs. It is not selfish right, to take care of you. In the long run, right, it's going to significantly impact you because you're going to then try to mask, right, these warning signs. I know we all have to push through, right, because we're trying to make sure we're our savings, right, is where it needs to be because we experienced, you know, these last 12 months, a financial shift and just a whole health-wise. So it's like we were in overdrive. Right. We just kept going and going and going and we had to reinvent ourselves. So I get it. A lot of things we've had to shift around. Right. In 2020. But I say to you now, your body is telling you something. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to pay more attention to what your body is telling you that it needs. If you need some sleep, you need to make that a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't underestimate or minimize when people say, I just need a nap. That's so real for that person, right? Because in essence, they're saying their body is telling them, hey, if you don't get some good sleep, right, real soon, I'm just going to shut down on you, right? I'm just going to shut. And that can mean whether, you know, now you can't get out of bed for the whole day or your mood changes to the point where nobody wants to be around you. And now, self says, okay, now you have to be by yourself, right? Because now people are just, you know, pushing away, being distant from you. So if you need some sleep, that should be a goal, that you need some sleep. If you need to become more physically active, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what your body needs, meaning a break from doing. So I'll use myself as an example. For 10 months, I was sitting in the same spot, right, doing therapy. And I'm used to going out to schools, right, teaching, doing trainings. I was just out. And when when the world shut down and the schools closed and, you know, no more classes on campus, I found myself looking at a screen all day for 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And my body was like, if you don't get up and move, right, if you don't get up. I mean, it was symptoms that I've never felt before. Right. And I've never been like, quote unquote, thin. Right. But even at this where I am now, it felt different. Right. So guess what self had to do? Self had to go and invest in a fitness trainer.
Did you?
I sure did. I'm happy about that.
Look at God.
Come on. Look at God.
We got a fitness trainer.
Lord, send the funds.
Say what?
Send the funds.
Oh,
so
yeah.
God sent the fun. He said, "You don't have any more excuses right now, huh?" So it just started, right? Just
Lord
started.
Be a trainer, huh? Glory to Him.
She was like, "Do you want to do payment plans?" Absolutely not, because I know if I give you this money, I'm gonna show up.
Lord be a trainer. Lord be. Lord be a waist trainer. Lord be one more extra stitch in this suit. Lord be a stronger button.
Oh my God. So
Lord,
you know,
be a new corset.
What?
Ain't that one of my student names? Corset? Oh, let me stop. I think I got a student name, Corset. Let me stop. Go ahead.
Oh, so I'm excited, right? But that was my body saying you need a break from what you've literally been doing for the past 10 months. You cannot continue to do it like this. That's what my body said. You cannot continue to work like this, right? Something has to give. And so I did it. And yeah, so my accountability is high, right? The stakes are high with this. So I had to pay attention to my body, right? I had to, all right? So that's me. All right. Don't ignore the warning signs because they were clear for me. Right. And body said, OK, that's it. Right. You're going to have to do something. All right. Here we go. Number five. Last one here. A self-sabotaging thought or process or behavior. You're self-critical and never satisfied with achievements. Right. What happened?
No, you good. Go ahead.
Okay. You're self-critical, right, and never satisfied with achievements. All right? So now we can go way back of how, you know, you created this self-critical right, process, you know, over the years, or just, you know, disappointment after disappointment. But however, you don't look at the milestones, the accomplishments, the achievements. And so one of the things I make sure to do, right, when I'm with my people, is to say, hey, right, tell me about you. Right. What are your greatest achievements? Tell me about these the accomplishments that you've had and some significant events, you know, that you've experienced in your life, because there is a such thing as being self-critical to the point where you could become depressed. Right. You can be feel like, OK, hopeless, right, helpless that you will ever succeed. So what do you need to do? Practice self-acceptance, compassion and grace. Right. Self-acceptance. Accept who you are right now, right? That does not mean that you shouldn't continue to work on your goals or set goals or, you know, explore, right, going to the next level and what that looks like. But accept who you are right now. Love who you are right now,
mm-hmm.
right? Have some compassion for yourself. Nobody's perfect, right? And we should not be working to strive for perfection. Right. That's not the goal. The goal is to have a quality, a meaning of life. Right. Feel like our purpose is being fulfilled. We are needed. People are receiving who we are. Right. So accept who you are. Have compassion and show yourself some grace. Right. Stop owning everything that doesn't go right in your life. It's not always because of something that you did. Right. When you have when you practice self-acceptance and have compassion for yourself and give yourself some grace, you tend to have more of a positive impact on the behaviors that you display and the emotions that you feel. You have to be okay, right? You have to be okay with not everything will work out or turn out exactly how I envision it would. Remember, there are other external factors that play a part in this as well, right? Stop owning everything that people project onto you, right? What worked for you may not work for others, and definitely what worked for other people may not work for you. So when you're creating your goals, when you're living your life, make sure it's to help you, right? It's to please you. It's working in your best interest. You're being your authentic self, right? When we say keep it real, make sure you're keeping it real for yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Not necessarily keeping it real with other people, but keep it real for you. Because when you go to bed at night and you think about the gratitude, you think about how amazing you are, I like to think that it's based on how you have defined who you are and who you are striving to be, all right? Invest in setting up your environment to reflect this gratitude and positive affirmations and positive self-talk, right? Look around in your space right now. Right? Does it reflect happiness? Does it reflect joy? Does it give you a sense of inner peace? Right? Where you are, do you have your favorite quotes? Do you have your positive affirmations of what you tell yourself every day? I love me some me. You know, I'm a good person, right? I am beautiful, right? Whatever it is that you declare you to be, even if it's a goal that you're striving to be, right now we need to declare that it's already so. Because that's how you live in it, right? If you say, I am successful, right, that says that my days are intentional about being successful, not I'm going to be a success. I'm already a success, and every day I'm living in that, all right? And nourish your soul, right? What does that mean? We talked about earlier in the show, like, nourish your soul on every level, spiritually, mentally, right, even financially, making sure you invest in you, that your needs are being taken care of. You know, whether that's nutrition, whether that's, you know, physical activity, whether that's taking classes, whether whatever resources you need to nourish your soul, invest in that, right? Time, finances, and resources. You can do this, all right? And so that's where I want to come from, right? Talking about these self-sabotaging behaviors and working on those behaviors to make sure you feel like you're being the best you. All right. There we are.
Okay.
Tanya, you with me? I have some accountability partners. They've been amazing because they text me like every day and every night, like, what you doing? Right? So, so I'm excited.
Wow.
Wonderful. Yeah, so I'm supposed to be drinking a gallon of water a day. I'll be drowning then.
You know what? You know what?
They did say that. I was like, self, you know. You
but also know that the body knows when it's thirsty, so you don't have to actually try all of that water.
Oh, yeah.
The body will tell you when it needs it.
Yeah, I need it.
Okay.
I'm a little dehydrated.
Okay, what drink on?
I'm trying.
Okay, juggle up.
I'm trying. All right, today is Tuesday. Started Sunday. All right, we're on the roll. All right, great people. Thank you for tuning in to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Enjoy the rest of your week. It's a little bit colder.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I felt the breeze. So bundle up, right? If you must go out, take care of yourself, and let's work on, right, defeating these self-sabotaging behaviors. All right, I'll check with you next week. Have a great one.
It's good for the soul.